I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, over there to Hebrews in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then also in John 8, 31 and 33. And I'm going to try to speak to your heart today in a way that will encourage you to realize who Jesus Christ is. Amen. And I really want you to just realize this morning that what I'm speaking at is to knowing Jesus in your heart, not just intellectually, but knowing Jesus in your heart. In other words, who is he? Or who he is? It could be a statement or a question, but knowing who he is, really. The Bible is very clear here in Hebrews in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And I just want to interject there that Jesus wasn't yet in human form. The incarnation had not yet happened in that first verse. God was using prophets like my wife quoted today, Isaiah, and minor prophets, Nehemiah and others that were there to speak and to share God's word into the lives of people, the knowledge of who God was, what he was saying to individuals, what he was saying to a group, or what he was saying to a nation. He would use his prophets to speak, preparing them for the coming of God's only begotten Son, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Starting now with verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And let me interject, now that when Jesus is born and he is there in the incarnation of God here on this earth, God doesn't need any prophets at this point. He's got Jesus, who is the greatest of all prophets. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the one speaking now, and he is speaking for God because he is God in human form, without sin. He walked upon this earth. And he brought life and hope to a lifeless and hopeless world. Just because you're breathing air doesn't mean you have life. Not the type of life that is declared in the Bible. Starting with verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And I'll expand on that scripture just in a few moments. John 8, 31 through 33. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What he's saying there is if you abide, make your home in, if you live in my word, not just visit it, but live in it. If you're there with it, if you embrace it, not at a distance, but you embrace my word. If you're there, he said, then you'll be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll know the truth. And knowing that truth will make you free. They responded, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? And it kind of describes there a lot of people. It describes the world who may know of or heard of Jesus, who will say, you know, we've never been in bondage. You see, a lot of people don't realize that they're in bondage, whether they're bound to Christ or they're bound to the world, but they're in bondage in such a way that They don't even recognize it. And that's how the enemy works. He wants you to be bound up where you don't even realize you're bound up. But when you're free in Jesus, you can worship. You can shout. You can raise your hands. Your feet can do a little dance. You can just praise God no matter where you're at. You can be in a restaurant and praise God. You can be walking down a shopping mall, whether an outside mall or an indoors mall. You can just praise God. You can be in a campsite praising God. You can be in your living room praising God. You could be doing chores praising God. You could be doing homework praising God. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know about that part. Yeah, you can. You can be doing homework praising God and thanking God. You could be going into your first class at university and you've got a class that you've been wanting to take forever, but it's the hardest class you'll ever take, and you're praising God on the way in. You're not worrying. You're saying, you know what, Jesus, you're going to bring me through this class. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can praise God when you're free. But when you're bound, it's hard to praise God. It's hard to lift your hands when they're bound to sin. It's hard to praise God when you are addicted to something else that's causing you to draw closer to that addiction than to be literally sanctified or set apart unto God for service's sake. Amen. You know, I can tell when somebody's playing an instrument whether or not they're playing it because they love it or they're doing it because of duty. There's a different sound that comes. There's a different countenance on the person's face. Even when they sing, you can tell whether or not they're performing or praising. You know, and it's a wonderful thing to be in a relationship with God and not to be bound to this world. And so the important thing is that often in our world that we live, we witness the testimony of Jesus, who has an historical report in the minds of so many. It's like this historical Jesus. It's like Jesus comes alive at Christmas. We lose him at Easter, and we get him back again at Christmas. But in always in between, it's just life as it is. The road's still the same road that I'm on. My cells are getting older, my hair's getting thinner, my hair's getting grayer, my body's getting chubbier, whatever it may be. You know, you're just life is this kind of life. But I'll tell you, you can have all those things I just said, and if Jesus is walking beside you, I'm just going to say one thing, who cares? Amen. Because Jesus is there. We can have this historical Jesus, but you can't just have an historical Jesus. It's the Jesus who they are discussing or testifying of, but there is an appropriate sense of relationship that's missing there. It's missing. I know a lot of people who know Jesus historically, but they're missing Jesus. I don't want you to raise your hands. I just rhetorically. How many have people in their family that say, I know who Jesus is, but you know they don't know who Jesus is? They just don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he can do, what he wants to do, what he will do if you just praise him, if you request of him, if you just speak to him. Amen. Before those cute little feet get out of bed in the morning, before they touch the rug or the hard floor or whatever you put your feet on first, the scale, whatever it may be, just go ahead and thank Jesus that you're breathing. Amen. That you have life. It's a good thing. Let me tell you what doesn't make it work. Is because some people think if they get to a certain point, they can get Jesus and it'll be all right. If they can have so much, if they can own this or own that or drive that or wear that, you know, it doesn't. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't care about all that stuff. What he cares about is your relationship with him. He wants you to know him as a friend, as a king, as a savior, as a brother. He wants you to know him in every capacity that he is in your life. It's as though when the people that we talk to, their statement within a statement is stated. I don't know if you ever listen to words within words. If you ever listen to what people are really saying, this is what they're saying. I know this Jesus, but I really do not know him, but I know of him. You see, we can know of Jesus. I can tell you all sorts of stories that I have read biblically and through commentaries, and I can tell you of Jesus, but I know him. I have personal stories I can tell you about what Jesus has done for me. What he's done for my wife this week in a great day of warfare. How she had peace. Amen. Wonderful. The situation was horrific. She had peace. That only could come from Jesus. Amen. Only could come from the Lord. And we have to understand that through this, you know, we meet a lot of people in life that, well, most of us meet a lot of people in life. Some people are very unsociable, you know. They just don't meet people. They kind of stay at a distance and look at people. But most of us meet a lot of people in life, and we become just acquaintances with them, though. Let me give you some examples. At the office, you have people that work in the office. You're just their acquaintance. You don't know them. You don't know what their favorite food is. You don't know where they like to shop. You don't know where they like to eat, specifically at lunch. They don't talk to you. It's a good morning, how are you type relationship. You know, you don't know if they're going through struggles. You don't know if they have any pain or joy. It's simply an acquaintance. They sit across a hall from you. They sit in a cubby. They sit away from you. They sit in an area to where you pass them by. You have the same employer, but there's no relationship. There's an acquaintance. Even in the same town, you know people that are in acquaintances in your neighborhood. Your neighbors, most people today have their neighbors as an acquaintance. I've had people introduce me to people and saying, this is an acquaintance of mine. Not a friend. This is an acquaintance. Now, acquaintance is not a negative word. It's a positive word. But it can be a negative connotation if you don't really treat that person as you know them. How about, I just didn't know what to get you because I really don't know you. I really don't know how to pray for you because I really don't know you. Hey, I don't know you, but I'd like to invite you to come to my church this week. You know, that's not how you start a relationship with a statement like, I really don't know you. You don't do that. You start relationships by saying, hi, how are you? That's how you get to know somebody, knowing how they are and how things are going in their life. And even across the country or across the oceans, we have acquaintances. I have acquaintances that live in Poland, in Ireland, in Romania, in Germany, in France. I have acquaintances that live in these areas that I know. I have acquaintances that I know that live in California. You know, but there are times in our life where we have to really get to know somebody. And if we never get to know them, we never know who they really are. The same thing with Jesus. If we never really get to know Jesus, we never get to know who he really is. He's not black ink on Indian paper. He's not a text on a screen. He's not a statue on a dashboard. He's certainly not the picture on the wall because no one knows what he looks like. He's not that person. He is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And he is so much wanting to get to know you and that you can get to know him so well. And then you won't form an opinion about him because you don't. And then the world forms an opinion about Jesus because they even heard good or bad. And we form our opinion about people because of either good or bad. Oh, they're coming to our church this week, but
You don't go by their coming to the church this week. You go by the statement that comes after the word B-U-T. But be careful. But don't let them know what's going on in your life. It'll be all over the FB page that they have. They'll Twitter everything. Don't say anything. You know, we get this opinion about people then. You know, they're coming in from another church. And do you know what? We get this opinion. We get to know people through opinions instead of knowing them for who they really are. Jesus knows you before you even get to know him. He created you. He loves you. He cares for you. He acknowledges you before the Father all the time. There is never a good relationship if you don't get to know anybody. There'll never be a good friendship or a romance. People have separated in marriage because they never got to know each other before they got married. They separated because they realized, wow, I don't know this person. You know, I've really have retired from doing weddings. I had promised I'd do two more weddings recently, but you know, there's so many times in weddings that I've done and where the guy or the girl are so wanting to be married to the individual that they'll do anything to put on a show to make it work. Then after they get married, the real person comes out. So instead of taking the food over to the person saying, "Here, dear," it's "Get my food." The house is dirty. You want to do what? Go to church? I only did that because I wanted to marry you. But it's now that we're married, forget it. You see, if we're not careful, but I'll tell you about Jesus. He's not like that. He'll never stop serving you. He'll never say to you, "What?" He'll never say to you, "I'm not going to church, praise God." He'll never do those things. He will love you no matter what you do. He'll never, and I'm going to say the word, moms, dads, please don't be upset with me for saying this word, but he'll never say, "I hate you." He always loves us, and I know we have a hard time understanding that because we have a hard time loving unless everything goes our way. Somebody say amen. Amen. But Jesus, even when it doesn't go his way that he wants in our life, he never stops loving us. Read the book. You will find out that Jesus loved you even when you were in darkness. He died for you. He didn't die on that cross because he had to. He died on that cross because he loved you. Amen. He died on that cross. You know, that's why I get a big kick out of people that say, "You know what? You know, if you're going to meet Jesus, you got to do this." What? You got to look like this. You got to have this happening before you can come to our church because, you know, this is what you got to look like, and this is what you got to act like, and this is who you got to be, and everything. And then Jesus will accept you. You know what, friend? I look at people all the time, and I never forget what I looked like and who I was when Jesus met me, and he loved me right where I was and who I was. He loved me. The reason I gave my heart to the Lord is because my mother-in-law never stopped telling me three words: Jesus loves you. And I would try to make her not say it. And she'd always look at me and go, "You know what, Dennis? Jesus loves you." And one day a switch went off and I thought I knew him, but I only knew the historical Jesus. I only knew this Jesus that I read about in books. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school at St. Joe's Preparatory School in Bardstown, Kentucky, taught by the Zavarian brothers, very rough school to go to in the sense of rough things happen to you if you didn't act polite. But we would There was a high school next door to our high school called Bardstown High. And once a year, there was a funny meeting that went on there. And now that I know about those funny meetings, I understand what they were. They would have camp meeting. And we would go sit on the top of the balcony, and we would make fun of them in their tongue speaking, in their praising, in their loud preaching. We would make fun of them because we thought they were whacked. I didn't really know Jesus. I went every morning to church. I had to at the school. We had every morning we had church. And no matter what condition my condition was in, I received the communion. It didn't matter to me because, hey, man, you know what? Whatever. But these folks were up there, and now I go to those camp meetings. I preach at those camp meetings. I speak in tongues in those camp meetings. I dance at those camp meetings. I fall out in the Holy Ghost at those camp meetings. I prophesy in those camp meetings. I'm prophesied over in those camp meetings. I've been healed in those camp meetings. So I went from a thoughtful Jesus to a living Jesus, amen, who's in my heart, and thank God for that. Thank God for that. And we have to understand, you know, and the mass of people who even attend churches across the world just sit and have a small talk or a short conversation through prayer or worship, but never really know Jesus. I don't want to pop your bubble, but there's people that go to church that don't really know Jesus. They just kind of, you know, they worship because everybody else is worshiping. You know, in America, you don't have to know Jesus to be in a worship service. I should get an amen from you, Larry. Because, I mean, Larry's one of the few guys that don't do this. But I've seen it so many times in churches where it's, everybody lift your hands. Everybody shout. Everybody dance. Christian calisthenics are taught in church. So you don't have to really know. But if you really know Jesus, you can't help but lift your hands. Amen. You can't help but shout hallelujah. Even if it's not in the appropriate place of the song, you just say hallelujah. It just comes out of you. Hallelujah means all hail the self-existent one. Wow. I could say a lot worse terms in my life before I was saved. I am glad to say hallelujah. Amen. I heard, Larry today that said that he used to say things that about in the name towards Jesus, but not in the connotation of being knowing him. You know, how many times have people hit their thumb with a hammer instead of saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you for the pain. They say in such harshness, in such a profane way, his name. Now, I'm not saying don't be human. I'm just saying realize who made you human and get to know your Creator. And guess what? He wants to live inside you. Amen. He wants to bless you. I think it's an amazing thing that the one true Savior of the world, God's only begotten Son, the heir of all that the Father has created and who has created all things through Jesus Christ. Let me read this to you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews, verse 3, chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He was first in line, by the way. You weren't, I wasn't. He was first in line. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. So I want you to look around today. Jesus made it all. I want you to go look out in the street today and look. How many like the way the bay looks? I love the bay. I love the Monterey Bay. I love the ocean, both Pacific and Atlantic. I love lakes. I love where we were just at it camping. I love that. That was marvelous to me. I was so tired I could hardly enjoy it because I worked so hard. But I'm telling you, what I saw and what resonates in me, even after that trip, I enjoyed it. I say thank you to everyone that helped me go, but I got to say a greater thank you to the one who made my scenery.
Amen.
He made it all. Look at that ocean. Look at that bay. It's beautiful. It's phenomenal. And that's the bay. How many's ever gone down Highway 1 to Big Sur and walked over to the edge of the cliff? And looked over at the edge of the cliff and looked down and you saw how mighty that ocean is. The bay's nothing compared to how mighty the ocean is. The bay kind of goes, the ocean goes, it like breathes and you like all of a sudden step back off the cliff just a little bit because you might get sucked into that. There's power there. God created everything. The trees around us, the stars up in heaven, the planets that you study in school. God created everything. He created the song that is on your lips. He created your mind. He created your cells. He created your body. He created man and he created woman. He even created, we got a new kitten. We just got a new kitten, and God created this little kitten. His name is Francis Dillon. I know it's a silly name. We couldn't come up with a real name of anything. We went through all these different names. Everybody was Facebooking names to Kathy. She was reading all these names. I'm thinking, yeah, they're all great, you know. I can't remember all the names from Roscoe to, you know, whatever it may be, you know, all these great names. But you know what? We ended up, somehow or another, we got Francis Dillon. And it's funny. And I think that cat, I was wondering when he jumps on my head in the middle of the night, God, did you really create him or just from the devil? You see, God is our God and he creates all things, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. I want you to know the enemy of our soul was the worship leader in glory. He chose, to try to go above God, and God said, you aren't doing that. Goodbye. Jesus witnessed him fall from heaven like lightning. He saw this. He became the Lucifer, or that person, the accuser of the brethren, but he just didn't come about on his own. God created all things. And God wants us to realize who he is. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Not only was he the firstborn, but he's the firstborn from the dead. You know, God always wants first in line. Personally, I'd rather be last in line, because the Bible says the first shall be last and last shall be first when it's talking about humanity. But here we find that he is the first from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So I want you to realize this morning, if you will, that there is a Jesus that wants you to know him. He wants to be your best friend. He wants you to be, you know, if Jesus had a Facebook page, he would send you an invitation. You know, there are lonely people out there that have never gotten an invitation. You know, they're out there, they got friends saying, you know, would you be my friend? Be my friend, you know. And listen, now listen to me, I'm going to say something here. There are people that have hurt you and I in life in such a way that they're on Facebook and all of a sudden, and I'm speaking in human terms, they have the audacity to send you that they want to be your friend. And all you can think about is the knives, hatchets, arrows, sore toes, tear down of character. that they did to you, and now they want you to be friends. And all, you know, and you're looking at that and you're going, this is what you do. This is what I do. You say, okay, am I going to be a Christian here? Or am I going to be a devil and say, no way. And you know what? I'm still dealing with a few of them with no way, you know. But I'm going to let you know something. Jesus, no matter what you've done, if you send him an invitation, he's going to go, yes. If we would learn to forgive like him, if we would learn to trust like him, if we would learn to move in the Holy Spirit like him, if we would know that he is in control no matter what a world we'd have, what a church we'd have, what an Bay Area we have. What a blessing it would be. Amen. Amen. Am I speaking to you this morning? Yes. You know, we live in a world of great change. We really do. Politics have changed dramatically. And if you watch the news, politics are about to change again. Michelle Obama has said she will not run for president. Hillary Clinton is starting to get her campaign prepared. The GOP is trying to find somebody. Somebody step up to the plate. Politics are changing all around us. City governments, laws are changing because of politics. Things are being voted here and voted there, and we're scratching our head wondering what's happening. If you don't know recently, politics have changed in schools where children go to school. And please, parents, talk to your child about their gender and what bathroom they should use and not get caught up in going into a girl's bathroom if they're a male, or a female going into a boy's bathroom because they're co-ed bathrooms. Please, let's keep this country moral. Let's remember that. It's important. That's no advertisement. That's just what's changing all around us. Education has changed. It's gotten so different than when I was a younger man. Education has changed, and how you go to school has changed. It used to be when you went to university, you could go to university and you'd have to go there for a certain amount of hours. And then you could do it online. But now you can do everything online. You can go, matter of fact, you can get your degree mobile through great universities now. Even what, you can have your iPad or your Android and get your education. You can become a doctor. A doctor of science, a doctor of ministry. You can have an MA. You can get a BA, an AA. Everything online. Everything has changed. Education has changed tremendously. Religion has changed. All around us, religion has changed in such a way that people are confused about religion. Some people say religion is bad. I say religion is good because the Bible calls religion good. It defines religion as visiting the widows. Amen. It's a good thing. But religion has changed. The church has changed. In 20 years, the church has changed. In 38 years since I've been in it, I have watched it go through such changes. I mean, let's just talk about a couple changes. Pastors don't even wear ties anymore to the pulpit. I had a pastor just a few months ago ask me, "Hey, preacher, do you wear a tie at the pulpit?" I said, "No. But I mean, I like the guy, man. I love the guy. I think he's a great guy. He's a pioneer." He said, "Man, I can't seem to get away from it, man. Some of my church members, I start to take off my tie and they're getting upset with me." You know, and then you got pastors that wear tennis shoes, shorts, and a t-shirt to preach. Things have changed. I think that's good. I think everything should bring a more comfortable atmosphere to where Jesus can be presented. I talked to a guy yesterday, and I said, you know, and I say this here, churches can become very sterile to where it becomes almost impossible to feel free. We should not be sterile. We should be open. Big sign out front, open. We got the best in the world. We have Jesus. I'm not up here in a lotus position. I'm not leading you in an alm chant. I'm not telling you to be here now. My name's not Baba Ram Dass. My name's not Yogananda. I'm not Sri Satchitananda. I'm not all of these people. Amen. I am Dennis Adams, a pastor and a preacher in the Church of God. And I want to tell you today that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And we don't need sterility for that. Jesus went into places to eat with tax collectors. Prostitutes cried at his feet. Dried his feet with their hair, anointed him with oil. He went in and sat down, and he told the religious world, "You don't even invite me to lunch. I come to your house, you don't even wash my feet. This woman who doesn't even know me comes and washes my feet. She has done the greater thing." I tell you, the church needs to get back to doing the greater thing and just loving people where they're at, and let's just worship a king. Amen.
And for you, up to everything, organics have changed. Organics and how we do stuff. How we approach people. How we work on the computer and in our food. Oh, we have vegans. We have veganarians. Those are vegan and vegetarian. We have people who eat hamburger on Friday, but vegan on Saturday and Mexican on Sunday. What I'm trying to say to you is that we have people that live sub-organic, pure organic, and they don't even care what about organic. You know me, I told my daughter buys everything organic. Man, her bill is like $250. I'm saying, I've been around too long. I want the $75 bill. It don't matter what's in it. I've been eating it for years. I'm breathing. But it is better to eat organically, believe me. Point being is that organics have changed. You go to Costco, now they got a section just for organics. And I'm wondering, who's checking if it's organic? I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to move on. You know what I mean? But we have to understand. But I'm going to tell you who is and who is always there. If we're going to survive the journey, we must realize in our hearts that Jesus is the Savior of the world. If we're going to survive this journey, we've got to realize it in our hearts that Jesus. One of the saddest things in the world to me is not a storm. It's not a loss of money. It's not the closure of a building or a church or anything like that. That's sad to me, yes. What's the saddest thing in the world to me is to know a soul left this earth without knowing Jesus. Oh, preacher, don't go down there. We don't want to talk like that. We don't want to scare anybody. Friend, I'll just tell you how it is. If you don't know Jesus and you die, you go to hell. There, I said it. Look at that. Amen. I'll say it. Amen. But if you know Jesus and you die, you get to go right to heaven with him. And there's no like little planets you go and visit beforehand. All some of the religions teach, you know, and you go hang out in a little planet for a while and you don't go to sleep for 500 years and wake up as a cat or a dog, or maybe that cat is somebody. I don't know. But, you know, you just don't all of a sudden do that. You know, it's not like that. It's cut and dry. God is very upfront. He said, not a whole lot of folks make it, and this is why they don't make it, is because they get all out of shape about it. I had somebody look at me the other day and said, you know what, it doesn't matter when the end comes. God's going to wink and everybody's going to go to heaven. He's going to empty hell. Boy, that makes it easy, doesn't it? That's not true. That's not true. Rob Bell wrote the big book, Love Wins at the End. What a genius this guy is. What a genius. He took it too far. He went too far and he just took the cross and threw it down. He had all these great ways. He was a master of evangelism, how to reach a younger generation through digital DVDs of little short stories that are remarkable into the hearts. He went too far.
He lost everything. Lost his church. Lost everything. Now he's being questioned on everything. John Piper, who's a great writer, a great man of God, challenged him. But my point being is that Jesus is that one that we need to know. It's not just head knowledge, but we need Jesus as heart knowledge. We need him living in our hearts. It's just not knowing him. I got Jesus up here. My mind's sanctified. And I know when my mind's not sanctified, because the Holy Ghost says, hey, that's not a sanctified thought. Then I go, I know. But there's a heartfelt relationship with Jesus, that he loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. The Bible says this, that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore in Hebrews 13 and 8. And listen to me. We must live and move and have our being in him. Acts 17 and 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know, every morning we wake up, we live in him. Every day we move around, we're moving around in Jesus. And we have our whole being is his. He's there with us. It's like when we worship, we're not just worshiping because there's a microphone and songs and PowerPoint and slides and drums and mandolins and guitars and singers. And we're not just kind of doing it because we're worshiping. Could you worship without that? I could. I worship Jesus all the time. I worship him in my home. You know, just to worship. And how many, do you know when there's a negative atmosphere, you can put on worship music and it changes the atmosphere? Why? Because it chases away those negative spirits. Amen. Some folks are like, well, I'm not kind of like this negative feeling, you know what I mean? But no, you got to put on that, turn, and you know what? Turn it up, it didn't go away. Blast it out of there, praise God, hallelujah. And just go ahead and speak it out of there. Say, you know what, negativity, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Live in power, live in an anointing with God that he wants to bless your life. Know him as the anchor of your soul, Hebrews 6 and 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Do you know when the storms you were talking about come? The reason you can have peace is because you're anchored. You're anchored to Jesus. No matter how torrent the winds get, no matter how hard the storms are, no matter how deep the oceans are, no matter how crooked the path, no matter how deep the valleys, no matter what's going on, you can mount up as wings of an eagle. You can catch the winds of that storm, go above the storm, and you can just fly above it. God's not going to remove the storm, but he's going to keep you safe from it. Amen. Because he's our God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. When sickness begins to prevail, I want you to know something. God thought about you. He put it in the Word. He said, for I am the Lord who heals you. I've been healed. I know what it is to be healed. I know what it is for God to miraculously touch you. I want to read something to you if I can, if you'll just give me a moment to pull it up for you. I got a praise report sent to us from the state office here in California, Nevada Church of God. Sandra K. Williams is Bishop Mark Williams' wife, who is the general overseer or the administrative bishop of the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee. And they were out here as our administrative bishops here in California. This is what she wrote. Now, I want you to hear about a healer, okay? I want you to hear about a healer. My mom called me. She saw her gynecologist, and he was astounded because the CT scans, the MRI, and the previous ultrasounds and tests from June in previous months showed a large tumor on her ovary. He examined her, did an ultrasound, and said, I don't understand how this has happened, but it's no longer there. She told him, I know what happened. I still believe in miracles, and God has healed me. My point being, very easily understood, is if we would believe God, Trust God and get to know Jesus in a way as He's healer. You say, well, Pastor, I've been praying for this, or I've been praying for that. I've been praying for this. I've been praying for that. I've been praying from the crown of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm in pain all over. I have a word for you. Don't stop praying. Your healing is on the wings of a dove heading towards your address. The Bible says this in Psalm 103, 2 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He does all that for you and I because He loves us, He cares for us, and He wants us to know Him. Not just the head knowledge. You know, a lot of folks will sit in church with the head knowledge, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because when they leave church, the Bible goes in the glove box, it goes underneath the seat, it goes on a table, it never gets open, prayer never happens, it just goes through the week as though I'm human, I'm going to make it, this is all right, I got to do this, I got to do that. There's so much more to humanity than just got to do this and got to do that. There's so much more to the relationship with Jesus Christ to where you can just be blessed. And you can be walking with Him, and He can touch your life and heal you. He can speak to your life. And, you know, I love it because I never say anything at all in a pulpit unless God gives me a message. I can go on the internet, Sermon Central. I've got library books full of sermons. I can go and cut and paste and everything else that up there. And you know, when you're gifted by the Lord to speak, you can go ahead and shake your handkerchief and you can take a stance. You can do all sorts of things. You can do all this and people can be fooled. But I want you to know something. There's no fruit to that. The fruit is always there when Jesus plants the seed of the message, and the message grows in the hearts of the believers, and their life changes because it's not the man or the woman preaching, it's the anointing that's being done by the preached word of God. Amen. Amen. We need to know in our hearts Jesus. Not just in our intelligence, but in our hearts. We need to know Him through faith and love, through mercy and hope. A hope that does not disappoint. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, the Bible says, and I'm going to be closing now. The Bible says this that's very important. Jesus, in Hebrews 1:3, it literally states He's the express image of His person. The first thing it says that He is the brightness of His glory. In other words, He's the brightness of His splendor. He's the beauty. He's the wonder. He's the praise. He's the exaltation of God. That's who Jesus is. He's just not some personality that somebody created in their mind. You know, when the canon was back in 600 AD, when all that happened back then, and all the changes to the Bible came under Constantine, and all those things that happened didn't change who Jesus was. I've read a book, several books, actually many, many, many thousands of pages on the church, its beginning, and everything, and on every book that I've ever read, whether by someone who was not full of the Holy Ghost, or somebody who was as far from it as you could get, or somebody who was totally full of the Holy Ghost, they always state somewhere in the Word and these pages that the Holy Spirit weaved His way through all the disappointments and all the things that men were trying to do towards the Word, and He would always bring out the power of the Holy Spirit when it was necessary to prove that God is God and He wants a relationship with humanity through the blood of Jesus. Amen. He's the express image of His person. He's the exact replica, the expression of God's love, the image of the anointing of God. Do you want to know what God's like? Do you really want to know what God's like? Read about Jesus. He's the express image. He's the exact replica. He's the reason He can say His name is Matthew when it's really Mark. And and everybody will get fooled. It took me about 2 years. Amen. I've kept on praying, God touch Matthew, Mark, whichever one it is. The exact replica. It's just, it's like that. It's this exact image, identical. Jesus is that identical mark of God here on this earth. You want to know God? Know Jesus. You want to move in the Spirit? Know Jesus. You want to be blessed? Know Jesus. You want to hear from God? Know Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. Jesus even said, Father, you and I are one. Now make them one even as we are one. Exact replica. He's the expression of God's love in our life. He upholds all things ever made or to be made, and that is made even now. He upholds them through the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus in us is the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and 27. Christ is God. In the Amplified Version, John 1 and 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, you and I, we're not ashamed of knowing who Jesus is. We're not ashamed of calling him friend. I'm not ashamed to be out there and speaking his name out in public arenas. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel in the open air. I've done it most of my ministry, preach the gospel in the open air. I'm not ashamed to let people know. We preached in Oakland years ago. You guys remember that? Years ago in the parks of Oakland. And I'm about to preach. The band played. Everything was there. We're in a park where people were there. There were prostitutes and addicts and all sorts of things and gang members. And they grabbed me before I went up there and said, preacher, don't preach real tough now because we got some bad people here. I said, good. Thank you for your information. I get up there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sitting them down there. They're sweating. They're looking all around. We're going to get attacked. Gang members are going to come and hit up on us. We're really in trouble. They're all over the park. They're doing this. They're doing that. We had church. And I called an altar call. And isn't it amazing that every prostitute in that park came to the altar? Every gang member came up to the altar. Every drug addict came to the altar. There was about 35 that gave their heart to the Lord that day at that altar. But if I went up there and told them, I don't want to really push back a little bit. There's a guy I'm going to talk about named Jesus. But oh, don't worry about it. I'll tell you about some stories about him. I went up there and told him how it was. He can set you free. Do you know that people, when they hear they're in bondage, they realize they're in bondage and they want out of bondage? When the devil's told on, he gets upset. Society will do all it can to destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says this in Isaiah 48 and 12. When society tries to separate you, when society tries to keep you back or it breaks the bridge and you can't go any further down the road, there's a chasm there that's too long for you to go. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 58 and 12. And he shall be called the repairer of the breach. He shall be called the repairer of the breach. You got anything broken today? Is there a relationship broken? Is there something happening in your life that's broken? Is there a road you're going down and it seems that there's a gap, you can't make it? Is there something in school that you're having a hard time with? Is there something that you can't connect to somehow? He's the repairer of the breach. He's the master of the breakthrough. Amen. You need a breakthrough today? He's the master of the breakthrough. Oh, you can walk out of here today not getting your breakthrough. You can walk over here today standing on the edge of your cliff looking down saying, I can never make it. Or you can come to the altar today and say, I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my soul saved. I'm going to see what Jesus can do. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to see the things that I've hoped for in my life to come about. My children are going to be saved. Praise God. My relationships are going to be rebuilt. Praise God. I'm going to believe by faith that God can do it. Amen. I think about poor Felice right now, and I'll say that. Felice Oliveira.
lost her son a few weeks ago. Brother Sepulveda, great, great minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ from Amazing Grace in Oakland, California. That was tough. Tough to lose a son like that. Everybody went to the funeral, everybody prayed, everything seemed to be all right. Just the other day, she got a phone call from Los Angeles. Her nephew was murdered. Grandson was murdered in an AM/PM market where he was working. She's got a chasm. She's feeling alone. I've been praying, Jesus, step in. Step in. Step in and be the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Be the restorer of the streets to dwell in. She's not here today because she's lonely. She's in despair. She's elderly. Things around her are disappearing. She's alone. I pray Jesus over her right now. I pray Jesus in her life. I pray Jesus comes and restores that bridge. I pray Jesus bring her a breakthrough. Praise God that she'll be blessed and that she can dance. I've seen her dance in the Spirit. I've seen her shout in the Spirit. I've seen her run in the Spirit in church. She just loves God. Amen. Every day we wake up to a new day and new trials. We wake up to successes and we wake up to failures. But if we put Jesus first in our lives and in our thoughts, He will bring the right revelation into our life. He will bring the truth into our heart and He will give us courage and the ability to triumph over Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Because of Christ, we live in victory. Because of Christ, our sins have been purged. Because of Christ, we enter into the presence of God in the holiest of all. He is brought to a place we could not have made by ourselves or by the help of any other but Christ Jesus. We got here because of Him. We're saved because of Him. We can enter in because of Him. Don't just keep Him in your head. Don't make it just a knowledge like that. And if you know somebody that's like that, would you tell them that Jesus wants a relationship with them? How important it is. And you may be the only Jesus they see. So you got to make sure your life is right. Because if you don't, they may see a Jesus that's counterfeit. See, if you're acting one way in church and another way elsewhere, if you're doing this and you're doing that, instead of just loving people and caring for them, praise God. When I preached to these folks on the weekend, believe me, I am made clearly and astutely aware that I'm probably the only Jesus that they're going to see. I'm not Jesus, but I'm showing His life, His love. And every week I ask them to give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because through the week they're not meeting Jesus. They're meeting a needle. They're meeting crime. They're meeting all sorts of problems. You know, and you and I, we get to go home tonight. How many's going home tonight? Yes, you are. And you're going to lay your head on your pillow and it's going to be so soft. And you're going to be thinking, every night I lay my head on my pillow, I think, man, this is a soft pillow. I thank God for my pillow. I don't thank God for the cat that sleeps on my head now, but I do thank God for my pillow. I woke up, my wife comes out, she's laughing the other morning. I said, what's wrong? She goes, the cat's sleeping on your head. I didn't even know it. He was there sleeping. So many folks don't have that. They don't have that. They sleep on cement. A rock is their pillow. Fear is their friend. Failure is their brother. Despair is their sister. And death is what they seek. But you and I can offer them life. A life that is abundant with love, kindness, and care. A life that says Jesus will be there for them. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God made it really easy for us to get to know Jesus. He says it right here in Romans 10 and 9, my closing verse, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not in your head, but in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. I guess the question is, do you really know Jesus in your heart?